This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is Frida Liu. You're listening to Raise Your Game. I'm here with Dr. Sekhar Jagannathan, and we're going to be talking about his book, Making Miracles for the Self, Inspiring You to Live Right. He's also known as HH Swami Guru. Nice to be speaking to you, Dr. Sekhar.
Good morning, Frida.
Yes. Apart from your book, before we get into that, I know that you have also the 7C Life Realization Center, which you started in 2009, right? What was the catalyst that made you create this space?
Well, one of the things I had been working for a very long time, and it was sort of a calling for me to go into meditation. And I've been a person who always liked to help people. So, and I took a sort of a sabbatical for 30 months. At that point, I didn't know it was going to be 30 months. And to start meditation on my own. Right. But one thing led to another, and I sort of founded this center called 7C, then it became 7C Life Realization Center. And for the first 30 months, it was about setting up, changing people, and a lot of things. And that we had a lot of success stories, and also finally getting our own place and everything. So the whole thing is to give people a meaningful life, to help people have the right perspective, right positive perspective of life, and the right word right here is actually what is more important for them rather than what is more important for the society that they live in. And that was something that I really want, that I wanted to give that realization to everybody and say that life can be very simple, and that's what we always practice here.
Right.
Life is simple.
And I'll get to like the kind of people that will turn up at the center, but before that, you know, you spent 3 decades, right, in the corporate IT world, right? And this affected your own stance on topics like mental health and mindfulness, right? What happened in the 3 decades in the corporate world?
Well, I have been in the financial services industry all the while, 3 decades now, and it's mainly in stockbroking. And so throughout the time, I was in the IT and operational area, and also then later when I went regional, I was also in the roles of management and business as well. So people were the most important part of my whole working life journey. I met a lot of people with job insecurity, people with problems, people with learning process, understanding change, all these things. And I had a lot of projects and that I did throughout the 30 years in my working life. And all those things that we see as successful projects, be it business, operations, technology and everything, the common factor across all these were people. So once you get the people management and the people mindset and help the people understand things in a much more better way, and you have clarity in communication, everything else falls into place.
Right.
So that's what motivated me to go out there and actually help people rather than only help people who I deal with on a daily basis, but to extend that to everybody else.
Right. What was your clarity? What was your moment?
I wouldn't say when I was working I had a lot of clarity, but I was very focused in what I want to do. And of course, while working, you will still go through adversities and difficulties in normal working life. And up to 2009, before I started 7C, I was more of a problem solver by nature.
Right.
Now, after mindfulness and everything, I'm actually more of a solutions creator. That means I remove the problem from people's mindset and I actually tell them there are better solutions for them to do things without even having to have the problem as a basis to find a solution.
Right. Now, a lot. So like for someone who would turn up at the center, right, what, you know, is there a common trait that people will turn up?
Actually, yes. Almost everybody have, I wouldn't say they have a single common trait. There are common traits where different categories, and it's always revolving around their career, financials, relationship, and past traumas.
Right. Okay. Now, a lot of people, you talk about mindfulness and meditation, and people are sometimes, you know, cynical about these things, right? And you also include that in your book, right? One of the first misunderstandings is that these ideas have to be linked to religion. And, you know, although your book has references to Hindu teachings, you're clear that the ideas are universal. Can you explain more about that misunderstanding?
Yes. I believe religion are personal, and reference to my own religion is more of to tell people that I have a foundation that anchors me in what I do, and that's a firm foundation. However, the book, it is normal for people to think that meditation can have some alignment to spirituality and religion is because the way it has been propagated in the past. But if you really look at it, meditation itself is the art of focusing of the mind, and that's mindfulness, that you become mindful of your mind. Right? Once you are being mindful of your mind, there's nothing to do with religion or beliefs or even spirituality. It's about you getting a better understanding how your mind is making you operate in different circumstances.
Right.
And once you have that understanding, that becomes the realization. And once you have the realization, now you understand yourself better, and you will know how to operate in every circumstances in a different way. And that's it. That's just the art of focus of the mind.
Right. And I guess, like, you know, you started the center 2009, and then after that, you know, after 10 years, right, you wrote the book. So what led to you writing your book?
People. Okay. People and their problems. During my many counseling session, I had seen that everyone's problem is common, and yet they themselves believe that it's unique to them and it affects them and only them. So they keep it to themselves, and it traumatizes them as they cannot speak to anyone about it, and that they feel that they will be mocked or looked down upon if they do speak about it. So the inspiration to write was to tell everyone that they are not alone, and once they know it, they will be more willing to speak about their problems and hopefully seek help too. This is most critical, so they don't feel lonely at all. That's why I wanted to write the book, and it took after 10 years because I could see the common, like what you suggested, the common traits in everybody's problem.
Right. You also talk about two kinds of people in the book, especially essentially those with faith and confidence and those without, and how generally the majority of people you meet land, you know, in the latter category, you know, no faith, no confidence, right? So when you look at that, right, why do you think that that's the case, and how can you help them to build this confidence?
I think we have come to become a society of fear. That means everything that we do, we put fear first, and we do everything after that with fear as the foundation. So they don't start off with the go and get it done kind of confidence. We people are trying to say, I hope I get it done. I hope I can be successful. That's just
I'll
hope.
Try.
There's no real confidence. Yes, I'll try, right? But if you look at the Western world, they come with the confidence that it can be done because they are prepared to manage. They don't say it is going to be an easy ride, but they know and have the confidence that whatever the storm comes, they'll be able to ride it out. We write out all the storms before we even start and then put all that in our mind, and then we try to make an effort to start. So this fear of failure is the one that brings down the level of confidence, and people give up very easily as well because of that too.
You're already operating that you're going to fail. And so if that's what you focus on, that's what's going to happen.
Yes.
Right.
So even your thought process, because you see, if you write on without fear and you have the confidence that you can deliver, you know, every single adversity or every situation that comes up, you know that you are designing yourself and the whole delivery to be successful. So you will find a way to get it done because we are humans. We have survival instincts. We will always survive. That's our nature. However, when you put in the fear of failure, what you will do, you will endorse that I there, I knew it, this is going to happen. So your solutioning, your words, your communication is all going to be on the basis of fear. I don't know whether I can do it. When you say, keep saying, I don't know whether you can do it, everybody else around you will not believe that you can do it. Mm. And that's why it's failing, because you are actually asking for it to fail.
Okay, I'm here with Dr. Sekhar Jagannathan talking about his book, Making Miracles for the Self, Inspiring You to Live Right. We'll continue our chat with some case studies in the book right after this. Race Again, BFM 89.9.
Buggy Free Minum, BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're listening to Raise Your Game. Good morning, Frida Liu here, Dr. Sekhar Jagannathan, also known as H.H. Swami Guru. We're talking about his book, Making Miracles for the Self, Inspiring You to Live Right. And of course, you also have the 7C Life Realization Center. You know, one of the things that you also talk about a book is this girl by the name Elaine, who was unsure about leaving her corporate job to run a flower shop. Tell us about that story.
Yeah, so she had this passion about wanting to do a flower decoration, but and her corporate life was very demanding and pressure. So for her, was about to go after this her passion. Because she know what people want, she know how to create the value to how people should see and how. Like a customer experience, you know. So she wants to do that, but she always had the fear that whether she will be successful, because her success is always deemed based on corporate success. But once she came out and started this flower shop, she was much more happier. And that happiness and passion removed all the expectation that she needs to fit success according to the corporate world. And she blended in, and she's now much more happier, and she has happy customers due to her happiness as well. And she has a successful business, and it's operating very well. So people actually don't know themselves as how they should know themselves. They always believe that they are somebody else, and they have to be that somebody else that the world wants them to be. But they're not being themselves. Once they learn to be themselves, they actually find new qualities, excellent qualities, and life becomes much more simpler to manage them.
Right. And then they think they have to be of a certain person earning XX amount of money, and that's my value, you know, in terms of how much I earn as well.
Yes.
Right.
All of us have enough money for what we need. But the problem is because we want to have more for the fear of what we may need in the future, which itself is an imagination and not a reality. So if you have enough today, that simply means you will have enough every day, because you have managed whatever circumstances that has been thrown to you, and you have managed it well with enough. So learning to say that you have enough and everything else is a bonus is the best way to live.
Right. You know, so one, you know, when you're looking through your book right there, a lot of the case studies always involve some form of miscommunication. Why do you think there's such a recurring problem, miscommunication?
Oh, that's very simple. Mindfulness. Because people are very good at hearing, but they're not listening.
Okay.
So what they do is when they are in a conversation, they actually are hearing key words. And then they will put in their own imagination to it. And then they will go back and say, this is what they believe that they have listened. So, you know, when this is like the difference between like when you listen to a radio, the listeners paint their own screenplay in the background on how it's supposed to play out. And each person's screenplay is different for each listener's. And where else in a movie, the screenplay is done and the context and the message that's going to be delivered from a movie is very clear. Similarly, for anybody who's hearing, their screenplay in their own head, their imagination of what context the other person is speaking is what they believe that the other person has actually spoken, but it may not be the truth. And then they go and make assumptions based on that, and they work on the assumptions, and they traumatize themselves, and they don't speak it out. The person who actually was speaking to them from the other side don't even know that they are having this trauma in their head. And they also will be blamed when it comes to a confrontation. Clarity in communication is very, very important. And beyond that, listening is a very important virtue. And that failure to listen very well actually affects work, relationship, marriages, communication between parents and children. And sometimes the trauma can sit there for years. And there was also one person who was traumatized almost until the age of 70. And that's also in my book.
Wow. You know, like, and I'm sure a lot of things were surfaced because of the pandemic, right? You know, what were people coming to you to, speaking to you about? I mean, were all these things sort of brought a lot more quicker to the surface because of the pandemic?
Yeah. So, actually, now we see a lot of people coming in with problems and stress and frustration. Actually, they are not new problem.
Right.
It's just that the pandemic triggered a fear, and that fear could be something that is very recent. That fear could be something very old, but they do not know how to differentiate it. It could be a very deep-rooted trauma, and they scare themselves because they go back to the time of the trauma without realizing they are at that time of trauma. And they put everything in the same basket, their career, their life, their future, their past, and their need for financial stability and job security, everything into the same box of a basket of trauma, and they don't know how to get out of it, and they are very, very fearful. So one of the things that that we have done is we have increased the number of meditation from 2 times a week to like 10 times a week.
Wow.
Just to help people to dial in from wherever they are and listen, sit in the meditation, calm their mind. And we also have life coaching sessions for people to talk about it, and we guide them on how to deal with it as well. This is very common because they believe their problems during the pandemic is about sickness, it's about work, it's about living at home or going to job security or whatever. Actually, it's not only about that. It also has triggered a lot of deep-rooted emotional traumas as well.
Right. Okay, so I guess like when people buy the book, right, you know, how can a reader find possible advice, solutions to what or they are going through? So it covers different aspects of the, you know, the issues that we've discussed?
Yes. The book is actually structured based on the common problems that people go through in their daily lives. As I said, personal, personality, career, relationship, and past traumas. The chapters are based on real people's experience and their counseling sessions with me. Of course, I don't use their real names. The book also has every their successful recovery. So each reader will be able to connect to these stories, and they will also be able to connect to the success stories. And this actually creates hope for recovery too. At the end of each chapter, there are also guiding points for them to practice and help them in their journey of change. And this is almost similar for them going out and speaking to somebody and having a counseling session. And some actually have used a book like a textbook, underlining, putting post-it notes, highlighting here. I understand this. Oh, this is what I need to do. And using the guiding points as a daily practice to change their life. And most of them are actually much more happy. They actually have come back and told me now they have a better understanding of what they've gone through. They know what to change, and they feel much more relieved and happier that their life is on a better path and better future. And simply everyone feels happy after reading the book.
Right. So, and a lot of it that you talked about was also like mindfulness and meditation. That's also an important aspect to get clarity, yeah?
Yes, that's one of the aspects, but it doesn't need to be sitting down in meditation. Mindfulness can also, mindfulness, as I said, is focus of the mind. So it also can be practiced while, if you love cooking, then while you're cooking, your mind is clearing itself from the clutter that it had. So if you like angling, then while you're watching the float go into the water, that's mindfulness. If you're somebody who's religious, your daily chant, holding the rosary or the beads or prayer beads it's also creating mindfulness for you to release the clutter in your mind. And golfers, so mindfulness is everything that helps you to focus your mind.
Right.
It's not about wearing white colors, sitting in a prayer room or sitting
under
in
a body tree
and try to click. Under a body tree. Exactly.
So
it's not that.
I think you made some people happy when you said golf.
Yes. A lot of people happy.
Dr. Sekhar, where can people find your book?
It is available at our center at 7 Jalan Lembah 5/2 of Jalan Bukit Gasing in PJ.
Right.
And it's much more readily available, easily available at MPH stores and also MPH online.
Right. Okay. So just look for the book, which is Making Miracles for the Self, Inspiring You to Live Right. I've been speaking to Dr. Sekhar Jagannathan. You've been listening to Race Your Game, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.